thank you again to Joe and Ray, and good morning, everyone. It's a real privilege for me to be a part of the way the Order We Cherish helps to reach out to dames and knights to strengthen our spirits. Joe, our prayers are with you, and especially for Sheila's recovery from feeling under the weather. And on this Feast of Mary, Our Lady of Sorrows, let's begin our time together by praying for her intercession of us with her Son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. 14 years ago, I began a new assignment, as Joe was referencing, as a pastor of a Cape Cod parish. Before coming into the office on day one, I made a prudential visit to the church for a quiet moment before the Lord in the reserved sacrament at the altar of the tabernacle. Words Jesus spoke that were inscribed on that altar in 1957 as the centerpiece for a then-new parish called out to me. This is the victory, your faith. If you haven't read Rabbi Harold Kushner's 1978 book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People, I highly recommend you do so, and if you've read it before, it's certainly worth a reread. It's an extraordinary work through which he and his wife share the devastating loss of their 14-year-old son, Aaron. Through his own profound Jewish spirituality, the roots of which inform our own Christian faith, Kushner helps us contemplate a fundamental question that's as timeless as it is timely. If we are created by a good and all-loving God for the things of God, why is there so much suffering in life? How is it that we live with all this evil all around us? I mentioned a moment ago that today's another Mary Day in our liturgical life. We call her Our Lady of Sorrows. Our prayer calls us to hold the memory of a mother who walked with her son to his crucifixion, a mom who stayed by her son on that cross, and we hold the memory of that moment Michelangelo captured so poignantly in his Pietà, a mom holding the lifeless body of her son, the only begotten Son of God. Together, we contemplate the mystery of her suffering and our own. Just yesterday, we celebrated perhaps the greatest paradox the world's ever known in the liturgical solemnity we call the Exaltation of the Most Holy Cross, sometimes called simply the Triumph of the Cross. Better than any of our TVs do, we announce together to the world breaking news, the good news, as St. John puts it for us, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. My friends, we don't save ourselves, much as the culture would like us to think so. Only God can save us. So let that one sentence be your Lectio Divina today. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Christ. Listen with me to a few words by one of the saints on this mystery of our faith. Christ suffered evil and repaid it with good. He suffered death and gave life. Death came through Adam, life through Christ, who deigned to be crucified and to die precisely in order to destroy through the tree of the cross the sin that had been caused by a tree, and by the mystery of his death to put an end to the punishment of death. My sisters and brothers in Malta, because Jesus triumphed over death, we can be victorious in life, even in the face of suffering, and particularly as we live with so much evil all around us. In fact, this is the victory, your faith. Today, for just a few moments, I'd like to reflect with you on two specific ways this faith is being lived, and I'd like to do it through some evocative images. First, remember with me that second visit of St. John Paul II to our great nation. Boy, he loved our heritage, rooted in the freedoms human beings deserve, because we're all human. On that visit, he came to pray one day the Mass in a huge football stadium in the proud city of Phoenix, Arizona. As TV cameras rolled, all of us saw an immense cross rising like a phoenix in the open space of the playfield, with huge huge arches forming its base. The space under it was connected to the sanctuary and the altar of sacrifice by a very, very long red carpet. After delivering one of his memorable homilies, the Pope began to walk that red carpet all the way out to the cross. And then on our television screens, we watched a first, a Pope, as he began celebrating that beautiful, if often misunderstood, seventh sacrament of healing we call the anointing of the sick. You see, at the foot of that cross were sisters and brothers of all ages, races, and stations in life, in chairs, wheelchairs, and on stretchers. At the foot of that cross were believers in the risen Christ, the palms of their weakened but hopeful hands wide open as the servant of the servants of Christ prayed these words: "Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who frees you from sin, save you and raise you up." Friends, help us, the church, help the church spread the promise of God's grace and healing by becoming a recipient of this beautiful sacrament of anointing of the sick yourselves. The church means it, as Pope Francis puts it, as a tool in our Catholic toolkit of faith to warm hearts and heal wounds. And then ask your parish priests to celebrate it publicly and with regularity as a way to announce how near is the Christ in our suffering. Secondly and lastly this morning, I suggest that we can and should learn from the example of our children and our children's children, who often bear more suffering than anyone frankly should. Their faith always inspires us. Two brief examples, I trust, will make the point. Remember with me the devastating news back on the morning of December 14th, 2012. 26 people, most first graders, were needlessly gunned down on an early school day by a truly twisted human being. Use your computer's search engines later this morning and watch the CNN coverage at that time of one family who learned the only comforting detail to emerge from such evil. In the days following this unspeakable tragedy, 6-year-old Dylan Hockley's parents connected with the husband of his first grade teacher, who was also gunned down. He shared with them that the two of them, teacher and pupil, were discovered in each other's arms. At the close of their interview with CNN, we hear Dylan's mom comfort us with these words of hope: "Our son was not alone. He was being loved even in those last moments." The second lesson a child has taught us about faith's power to overcome evil is from an 8-year-old prophet. Hours after the grisly attack at the Boston Marathon on April 15, 2013, that was intended to spread terror and suffering, the family of Martin Richard, intending instead to spread the powerful faith of a child, posted on the World Wide Web an image of this little martyr, a truly bright picture of their boy's Catholic Christian faith shining for the whole world to see then and now, as Martin held up a message board he'd made months earlier after his first communion for a campaign against violence. It simply reads, "No more hurting people." My brothers and sisters, this is the victory, our faith. I promise I won't sing it right now, but let's all do so after the close of our shared faith this morning. Those beautiful words of the great hymn that were penned long ago by George W. Kitchen: "Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name." Amen. Thanks, everybody. Bless you all.